Blog Talk Radio.
Music's going. I gotta go. What? For what? For charging your phone? Rachel's probably got one right there on the floor. There should be one. Yep.
Old Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died.
Good evening. It is Thursday evening, and we are in the month of May, and it's still kind of cold in Minnesota. Isn't that crazy? It's still kind of cold in Minnesota. But anyway, we're praising the Lord here. Hey, I'm at the Northern Command, and I've got Brother Lonnie here with me. Brother Lonnie is in Minnesota. He is on his other job that he works there, his full-time work that he does. He had a conference in town here. And Brother Lonnie was going to be, he's in Minneapolis. Together here, so we call this the Northern Command, because we're up north here, and we finally got this guy across the Mason-Dixon line. So he is here, and Brother Tino says hi, and you know, we've got Brother Lonnie here. I can't believe it. We've got a Texan. Nobody has gotten rid of him yet, so he's doing okay. We'll keep him here for a few more days. Somebody said, Brother Tino said he heard Brandon and you talking during the intro to the song. Well, maybe that was me and Lonnie, actually. That was Lonnie and I that we were talking. I hope you heard a good conversation there. I don't think we said anything bad, so I think we should be... No, we wouldn't talk about anybody, so we should be all right, I guess. I don't think that'll be a problem, but it's good to have Brother Lonnie here with us, and we just ate some good food and had a good time of fellowship there, and picked him up over there by the airport, and it's been a blessing to see him, and I'm glad the Lord brought him this way here, and we know those things aren't by accident. The Lord allows those to happen, and what a blessing those things are to us. Well, listen, we know what time it is. What time is it, Brother Lonnie?
Wake up!
One more time for the kids at home.
Wake up!
All right, that's it. Wake up. It's time to wake up as we look at what's going on in our world today, and we understand not to get hypnotized with the right-left paradigm, not to get hypnotized with what's going on in this world as far as thinking that these two teams aren't predominantly on the same side anyway, that they're all one team, actually. But as we look at this, we understand that there's either those that are on the Lord's side or those that are on the side of the Antichrist. Those are the two teams, really, that there are. Those are the only two teams in your life. If you'll understand that, you'll go a long ways in your Christian walk if you'll understand there's only two teams. There's God's team, and then there's the devil's. So, anyway, but we look at the news right now, what's going on in our world today, and boy, I'll tell you, it's not getting any better. You know, one needs only to go to the grocery store and do some shopping to figure out things aren't getting better. Things are getting expensive. Meat and other things, pork and beef and all those kind of things, It's getting expensive. It's not getting any better. I don't care what they try to mess with the numbers there and try to say, well, you know, we're not doing that bad. World unemployment's not that bad. Yeah, it is. That's all smokescreen is all that is. That stuff's a big smokescreen. It's doing terrible. We're doing terrible out there. The country's in a terrible mess. Spiritually, the country is in a horrible mess. It's absolutely wickedness and pandemonium running around out there. We're going to talk about sodomites in the Bible tonight. It's a series that I'm starting on sodomites, and Sunday I'm going to talk about the sodomite agenda, I think, among other things. But one of the messages I'm going to preach on is the sodomite agenda, and really look at that. It's a real agenda in America, and it's an attack, and it's on all fronts. And I'm going to cover that with you here. Or with the folks there on Sunday. You can catch us if you don't, you know, you can catch us on our replays there on YouTube. We replay all the messages there on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, Old Paths Baptist MN. You can catch us there. You can catch us on our sermon audio page, sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. And you can catch us there for all of our sermons that we post. We post most of these, but the discussion always seems to be a little bit different when we get on radio here and we do radio. Things change a little bit, and the discussion isn't like a sermon as much as it is just kind of talking to one another, and you know, you can add things and all that. I don't know who we got calling in today, if anybody's on there right now yet. Pastor Brandon's going to call in a little while. I think he's got some things he's doing with his family here tonight too as well. But we'll probably hear from him later on during the show. But what's going on in our world? What's happening right now? Well, it says here, as we look, the FCC votes to advance new internet rules. What does that mean? Well, anytime the government gets involved, you can bet what it means is a loss of freedom. Right, Tino? Tino's out there. He'll give me a hearty amen on that one, I know. But when the government gets involved, it's a loss of freedom. That's what it is. It's a loss of liberty. That's about the only thing that they do. They take your liberty away from you when they get involved with something. That's what they always do. And there's Tino with the hearty amen. So he knows it. It's true. He's monitored these things for a long time. But we haven't heard from Tino in a long time. We ought to get that guy to call in sometime, Brother Lonnie. I haven't heard from Tino on air for a while. It's probably been a few months since we've had him on there. He's good at sending me comments and everything, too, and sending me different articles, different things that are going on, and different thoughts that he's had about things. But, boy, I'll tell you what, when the government gets involved, you know we're in trouble. We just are, plain and simple. We're in trouble. And that's the internet rules, the government letting – you know, I haven't seen yet – as far as what's happened with Obama taking, you know, giving over the power of the internet or the control of the internet to something else, to, you know, I don't know if it's going to be the UN or a special body or whatever, but it's just, I don't know, I don't understand all that quite well, really, what happened, but with that, but I don't think it's going to be a good thing. It never can be when they do that, you know. So we're not going to believe that it's actually going to be free market, right? I mean, come on. We know that that's slowly going away. We also know that the truth comes out in programs like you're listening to right now. That's where you get the truth, on sermons, online, on radio, obviously at your local church, but that's where we get everything, and they want to shut that down as best they can. They want to control that and monitor that and change that and all those kind of things. But anyway, so look for that to happen there. With everything. Oh, Brother Lonnie's got on our Faith Baptist Church page, Facebook page. He's got a link to the sermon audio page as well. If you want to listen to any of those sermons, we encourage you to download all of our radio shows and listen to those. If you never listened to all those, as you stumble across them here and find them, listen to them, download those. And I have taken some of the geocentricity shows and a few of those others and put them over on our sermon audio page, because, boy, we had a great series that Brother Tino and Brother Russ did on geocentricity. Had some feedback from that too as well. And, it's exciting that people can actually find those and listen to those. We need that. That those resources need to be out there. Well, what else has been going on? Well, we see a ratcheting up of, between Russia and America. I mean, it's like 1980 without a Ronald Reagan, and with it, and I'm not, I know Ronald Reagan had his own problems, but it's 1980 with a country that is more wicked than it was in 1980, okay? With a president that has a limp-wristed image in the first place. We don't have a good president. Obviously, we haven't for a while. But the point is, as we look at it, this can go. This is a game, okay, for these people. All these people are playing as a game. Whether it's Putin or whether it's Obama, it's all a game. It's all a big game. They know exactly what they're doing. They do. You know, Tino's asked me, I said, limp-wristed, what are you suggesting? You mean about the president? What am I suggesting? Well, in no uncertain terms, I'm suggesting that he's a devil. Whatever goes along with that, so be it. But he definitely is that. Wicked. Very wicked man. All right. Well, anyway, maybe so, Brother Lonnie, but I ain't going to say it. I ain't going to say it. Maybe so, though. Maybe so. I'm already in enough trouble, okay? So I'm not going to say that. What I mean is he acts, you know, effeminate is what he does. He acts effeminate, and he doesn't play the man. You know, he doesn't act like a man. The Bible talks about being effeminate. So that's another analogy for limp-wristed. I mean, that's what I meant by that. So, you know, I get a lot of grief for things sometimes, so I got to be careful what I say. I get myself in trouble. I'm not telling you, Brother Tino, what Lonnie said. I don't need to be any more trouble than what I'm in already. I get in trouble. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I see it. Lonnie's here tonight at the Northern Command, and he's having a lot of fun here. I think this is going to be an interesting show because he's having a lot of fun here. He's in a festive mood tonight. And, yeah, oh, my. Brother Tino's adding his 2 cents. I'm not adding that to the program either. All right. I got to screen you guys now and make sure I don't let anything get through here. This is getting scary. Well, anyway, what else do we have going on here in our world? Well, you know, I'll tell you something that I would look at that I think we ought to keep an eye on because it's kind of frightening, actually. One of the things is drone technology in America and what it's being used for. It doesn't appear that – now Rand Paul came out and said, hey, you can't be killing people that are U.S. citizens. So that's good. But most of the Republicans and the Democrats and all, they don't really care who dies. They don't. Perfect case in point, we see those Nigerian girls that were kidnapped. And that's horrible, by the way. I'm not lessening that. That's terrible. And I pray those men are brought to justice. At the end of a rope probably is about the only justice you're going to get in situations like that for people like that that want to, you know, harm little children and young ladies and everything. But that's an act of war what they did to those ladies and those families. I don't blame them for their outrage. But what about all the lives of the children that have been slaughtered and murdered through these endless wars of the U.S.? What about what about the President of the United States drone bombing a wedding to try to get two so-called terrorists? Those other 200 people weren't murderers and killers. They were people at a wedding. Just think about it. I think we pick and choose our outrage as a country, and it's sad because we shouldn't really look at things that way. All life is important. And when people are murdered, it's a terrible thing. Well, the GOP leaders come out today and they say, well, we'll try again on amnesty if we gain control of the Senate. Well, they're pushing amnesty. You know, I'd like to talk to some people sometime more about that and get a good understanding of immigration. As far as from a biblical perspective, from a constitutionally biblical perspective and a biblical perspective of what's right, I'd love to try to understand that. That topic is a highly sensitive topic, and just to find the right balance to that would be a good thing. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, we're also another thing I want you to keep in mind of that we're seeing is a rise, an absolute rise in this technology, in this nanotechnology and other technology like that, this DNA technology. we're seeing a rise in that, and this desire to kind of link you with the computer, to upload your brain, you know, those kind of things. We're seeing that. You know, we're seeing that. By the way, the Pope comes out, you know, he came out last week, too. I'm trying to remember the latest thing with this guy. This guy, I mean, they're all apostates, but it's amazing. Well, here's one. How about this? What do you think about this? I wonder what Brother Tino thinks about this. Rabbi and Muslim leader to join Pope Francis on Holy Land trip. A rabbi and a Muslim leader will join Pope Francis on his upcoming trip to the Holy Land, the first time an official papal delegation has included members of other faiths, the Vatican said Thursday. Francis. Yeah. No, that's a he. That's Francis. But Francis's two longtime friends and collaborators from his days as Archbishop of Buenos Aires, Rabbi Abraham Skorka and Omar Aboud, a leader of Argentina's Islamic community, are on the official delegation for the May 24th through 26th trip to Jordan, the West Bank of Israel, and Israel. The Vatican spokesperson, the Reverend Federico Lombardi. How about that, huh? Federico. How do you say that? Federico. I don't know. Fee said their presence on the delegation was an absolute novelty, desired by Francis to show the normality of having friends of other faiths. Skorka and then the Cardinal George Mario Bergoglio. That's a name for you. Together wrote On Heaven and Earth, which explores Jewish and Catholic perspectives on a host of issues. I wonder if I'll get invited to that. Tino, I don't think I'll be invited to that. I don't think that's going to happen. But I will say this, it is kind of shocking, well, not really, but it is kind of fascinating, the Jewish and Catholic perspectives. Well, that to me has Kabbalah written all over it. To me, anyway. I don't know if you caught that at all, but that's what it means to me. It means Kabbalah. Means Kabbalistic. It's what I get from it, anyway. Anyway, it's interesting, though. Francis will meet with the current ecumenical patriarch, Bartholomew I, on four separate occasions during his packed three-day visit. The highlight is a prayer service inside the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, one of Christianity's holiest sites, where the faithful believe Jesus was crucified and resurrected. Yeah. Probably not. Probably not the place. Lombardi said that the service was in itself extraordinarily historic, given that the three main Christian communities that share the church, the Greek Orthodox, Armenian, and Roman Catholic, will pray together at the same time. Oh, that's wonderful. It does sound like a unification. It sounds like the whores are coming back to the mama. That's what it sounds like. Prayer service at the ancient church are usually... By the way, let me clarify what I mean by that, in case somebody doesn't understand. When you look in Revelation, the Bible says that there is the great whore. I will show thee the great whore, the mystery of the great whore. The mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of all harlots, the mother of harlots. All right, well, prayer service at the ancient church are usually separate, with each community jealously guarding its turf and scheduling individual services. Francis's schedule is so intense that the 77-year-old pontiff canceled a planned visit to a Rome parish on Sunday to rest up for it. For his official program over the 3 days includes 13 speeches or homilies. What's a homily? Tino, what's a homilies? What is that? I wonder what a homilies is. Private audiences with leaders of Jordan, Israel, Palestine, meeting with patriarchs, muftis? What's a muftis? Muftis. Lonnie, look that up for me, will you? What's a muftis? A muftis. M-U-F-T-I-S. A muftis. Oh, homiletics is preaching. Is that what they call it? Oops. Homilies. I don't think I've prepared any homilies. All right, what's a mufti? Let me see here. I got to look at this. A mufti. It's a Sunni Islamic scholar who's an interpreter, expounder of Islamic law. Sharia. Oh, hey, that's great. Hey, you know what, though? You know what's really funny? I mean, that just Sharia law, that just fits the bill, doesn't it? Because Rome actually taught Sharia law. If you didn't believe like Rome did, they killed you. So they have a lot in common. That makes sense that they would all get together and pray together and do all their little... He's going to have private audiences with leaders of Jordan, Israel, Palestinians, meetings with patriarchs, muftis. I need one of those little things that pronounces it for me. I probably need that every time I preach. I wonder if the Pope needs it when he does a homily. When he does a homily, I wonder if he does that, if he needs one of those. Probably not. Oh, and he's doing 13 speeches. Isn't that something, the number 13? How about that, the number 13? Yep, that's true. Why did they start sharing the buildings in the first place? Yeah, you know, it's pretty odd, but that's exactly the way the devil works, though. See, Rome and Vatican II decided that they would, if you can't beat them, join them. That's really what the main goal of Vatican II was. If you can't beat them, join them. If you can't kill them, join them. Because, you know, they stopped being able to kill us as much, so it went from that to, hey, if you can't kill them, let's just join them. That'd be better. Let's kill them, and then we'll kill them. Or let's join them, and then we'll kill them. All right. Priests do a 5 to 10 minute homily during Mass. Oh, that's what they do. Is that where all the guys get it that preach these little short messages, I wonder? I can't believe that. It's unbelievable. Anyway, well, listen, here we go. Let's see here. He says he's going to do 13. That 13 is the number for rebellion. I wonder if Nate's listening tonight. Nate, if you're listening, do you see that? The Pope's going to have 13 speeches. How about that, huh? Private audiences with leaders of Jordan, Israel, and the Palestinians. Meetings with patriarchs, muftis, rabbis, refugees, as well as symbolic visits to some of the holiest sites in Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Well, you know what I find is fascinating? How come if a Jew over there goes to a Muslim holy site, there's a war, but the old Pope, he can walk into a Muslim holy site, nobody cares? That's interesting. Hey, who do I got on with me?
Who do you think you got on with you?
Oh, you're here. What are you doing here, brother?
Well, I was just sitting out in my pickup truck watching a Little League baseball game, and I figured I'd just go ahead and join the program.
You wanted to call in to find out what a mufti was, didn't you?
I heard you talking about muftis, and I thought that was something that went on one of them sandwiches you got at Schlotsky's.
A muftu. Oh, well, wait, I said it wrong. It's a muftu.
No, it's a muffaletta. That's what it is. I thought it come from a mufti. I didn't know. Maybe that was what the dough was before they baked it.
No, that's a Sunni Islamic scholar.
Well, I've heard of
muftis. What's that?
I've heard of muftis. I've actually heard of muftis, but I really couldn't remember what it was.
Well, it appears that the Pope knows who it is, and he's going to join them all together. And listen, I hope folks can wake up and understand this. If you ever hear this, the Pope is not a Christian. Okay,
no.
The Pope is Antichrist.
Yes.
And his desire is to merge all together.
Yep.
It's to merge all those religions together. So you see the three most powerful so-called ones. Now, just like in history, no Bible-believing, born-again Christians will ever merge with that devil Rome. That won't happen. But the 2 billion Catholics will,
yep.
And the 2 billion Muslims will, or is it more than that, brother? Is it more than that, or is that
oh,
one
I'm
is about
tell
2 billion?
I haven't been running no tally on them. Lonnie probably tell you that.
I heard you had 2 billion Muslims where you live in Paris, Texas.
Well, you know, actually, you know, ironically, I mentioned that on the show a couple months ago about our Muslim mayor. They voted that Muslim mayor out.
He was all voted off the island?
He was voted. They said, you're the weakest link. You are gone.
You're gone. You're the weakest link. Goodbye.
That's what they told him.
Is that what happened to him? Did they get him off of there?
Pretty much. Between me and Brother Lonnie stirring up trouble down here. I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but evidently this community wasn't ready for Muslim investors and things of that nature to come in, and they weren't ready for it. So praise God for that.
So it's not like Paris, France.
No, we're not. No muftis here.
The muftis didn't make it. The muftus were moved along. The muftis
were moved along.
That's what happened. Well,
yeah, they're still selling pork in the butcher shops around here, so we're in good shape.
They don't do that, do they?
Yeah, of course they do.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
When the muftis come in, I figured they'd get rid of all the pork.
I love pork. That's good
stuff.
That's
some heavy duty radio right here. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, man. Tino's talking about pork and ribs. Hey, you got to have fun, man. This is the fun time where we look at the world of news and have a smile on our face when we talk about it. You want to know why? Because if you don't, you'll cry. That's why.
Exactly.
I hear my fans in the background screaming.
Yeah, you get a bonus with me tonight. You get an audience because, like I said, I'm sitting outside a Little League baseball field, so occasionally there'll be cheers.
I know they're cheering for me. I understand.
Yep, you and my 9-year-old son who's playing. So
that's right. That's right.
I'm doing double duty tonight.
What do you think about Brother Lonnie in the Northern Command tonight? Huh? What do you think about that, brother? Isn't that exciting?
Is he down in the book, the basement full of books?
He is down in the checkered floored basement. He is down here in the library room. He is in the Northern Command, deep behind enemy lines, down below in the cave. That's exactly where he
is. Down below with the permafrost.
I'm in the Northern Command Center.
That's right.
Pretty live.
I can't believe we got Barry White here, too. It's unbelievable. But
amen. Right. Yep. We just sent him up north.
That's right. You know, it's something here, brother. When you think about everything that's going on in our world right now, what we're seeing right before our eyes, the merge, the merging of all of these three religions right before us, an active push for that, for them to come together right in front of our eyes.
Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing everything starting to come together. I mean, it is really frightening with the speed in which things are revving up. Satan's excited. Satan is very excited. He sees his time coming, and he's getting very, very excited about it.
Yeah.
And his minions are all worked up, too. I mean, you can see it everywhere.
Yeah, you really
can. In every facet of society, the filth is coming to the surface.
It sure is, brother. I mean, well, I guess we should talk about one of the biggest events of the week, and I'm glad. Don't put any pictures, please, of this because it makes me sick to my stomach. But what is that? Is it Michael Sam or is that the guy's name?
Michael Sam.
Okay, tell us about that. Tell us what happened.
Well, I was watching, so I can give you an account of what happened. I was watching the draft. Up until just a couple days ago, I've been pretty excited about the upcoming football season because I am a football fan, as is Brother Tino. I know we get excited about watching guys jumping around in tights. You may be well aware, but I've still been a diehard football fan. I'm a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, have been all my life. But as I was watching and waiting for the last three Cowboys draft picks, number 249, right before pick 249, the NFL Network and ESPN aired a video clip. They said, well, it looks like defensive end Michael Sam from Missouri, University of Missouri, will not be picked. And let's just back up just a little bit. Let's get the whole story in. Months ago, Michael Sam came out out of the closet, if, as they say, and he came out of the closet there in Missouri, at the University of Missouri, and there wasn't much fanfare behind it. Not too many people really cared, I don't think. They weren't too interested in whether or not he was a sodomite or not. And then the NFL got a hold of it, and as they knew he was the – and by matter of fact, Michael Sam was he was voted, I want to say, co-MVP, defensive MVP of the SEC. You know, he's a pretty good edge rusher for that for the Missouri Tigers. And so, you know, there was a lot of hype that he was going to go early in the draft. And, you know, he did some interviews with different people, and they really stoked the fires of this first openly gay player entering the NFL. And it's a perfect storm, brother, because not only is he a homosexual, but he's also black. So it kind of made him untouchable. You can't criticize him for being you know, homosexual, and you can't criticize him because he's black. So he had double insulation on. So I see what's happened. The media has just absolutely latched on to him and made him their darling. And so all day long, the first 3 days of the NFL draft, everybody was waiting with bated breath for Michael Sam to be selected. And it wasn't until day three, I'm talking about the waning moments of the seventh round, pick 249. They aired a video all about his coming out and all that stuff, and it was just a big deal. His friends, they were saying, well, I guess he won't get picked after all. And then lo and behold, with the next pick, out walks the St. Louis Rams right up the road from where he played college, and they selected him. And that's all anybody could talk about for the next couple of days in the sports news was Michael Sam. And truth is, he'll make it into training camp. He's probably not even going to make the team. But I've already heard that Oprah has on her network, I'm not sure if he already has a reality TV show. He already had one up and running. Or if not, Oprah is going to have him one on her network.
Wow. Brother Lonnie says she has complete rights to him, to his
really?
Story or whatever. Huh.
So, I mean, you know, again, he's double insulated, brother. He's black and he's gay. That's two things you can't touch in the media today or you lose your career. So, you know, I'm watching.
Well, let's talk about that. Do you remember the name of the guy that tweeted? Tweeted like a Tweety Bird. I hate that name. I hate saying tweet. Just sounds weird.
Yeah.
But anyway.
No, I don't know his name, but he was a player for the Miami Dolphins.
Okay, yeah, and what did he do? He tweeted that he's gross or something?
He said, OMG, how horrible. Michael Sam kissing his boyfriend on TV. OMG, how horrible. That's what he tweeted.
Well, that's pretty gross, so I can see why the guy tweeted that.
Right. But
Tell them what they did to him. What'd they do to the guy after he did that?
Well, he got fined, and I'm not sure exactly how much he got fined, but I'm sure it was a substantial amount. I mean, the NFL will fine you if your socks aren't pulled up,
They sent him to – they also sent him to what I call reprogramming classes.
Yeah, he had to go to brainwashing classes because he said something bad about I can call him all kinds of names, but I guess
a sodomite. Let's use the word sodomite. Let's do that. Then we'll keep...
The word. What I was going to say wasn't as nice as that. So yeah, that's what they are. They're so... and if you are in the media in any format of media and you or a Christian, and you speak your mind, you're going to lose your job. And that's what happened with two of the hosts on the HGTV network. It was a couple brothers who had their own, like, home flipping shows. You know, they go and buy a home and repair it and sell it. And these two brothers were supposedly Christians. I don't know anything about their faith or whatever, but they were Christian men who stood against homosexuality, and they lost their show over their stand. That was just recent. That was in the last couple of weeks.
That was the same week.
Right. Okay. But the NFL has partnered with the White House. You do understand that, right?
Tell us about what happened. What happened? What's the White House have to do with it?
Well, the White House has partnered with, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's either the Washington Redskins or the Baltimore Ravens, and they partnered with them on Obamacare. And one of those teams, I can't remember which, is really pushing Obamacare. And but
what
it was
did the president do? What did the president do though?
Oh, he called Michael Sam and congratulated him for being the 249th player in the NFL draft. No, for being an openly gay player. So he's congratulating him for swapping feces with his partner and playing football at the same time.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you
and
a question.
That's Pertino Gropey's phrasing there.
Well, let me ask you a question now, okay? Let's do a comparison.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay. Sure.
All right, I'm going to mention one name, Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Let's talk about him, okay? Tim
right.
Tebow was a professing Christian. I believe the man is saved, as much as I know. I don't agree with him. I think he's – let me say this.
I think he's pretty naive.
As much as I know, I think he's saved, okay? I have a hard time with Christian, athletes in Hollywood and all that. You know how I am with that stuff. I just don't – I believe most of them are fake. So I don't know. Maybe he is, and he's just naive and unlearned and doesn't know how to stay separated and the pressures of everything on him. I don't know. I don't know. I know it's hard to even say the name of Jesus as an athlete in the NFL. I could see that anyway from what's taking place. But, you know, our president claims to be a born-again Christian. He's claimed that many times. He has said that many times that he is saved. Does it ever make you wonder why our president didn't call up Tim Tebow and say, "Hey, Tim, I just want to congratulate you for your faith in Christ and your bold stand for Jesus Christ out on the football field? Because I'm a Christian, too, and I think that's a wonderful thing."
Yeah, it's kind of odd that he didn't call him as much as he claims to be a Christian. But let's be honest, we know Barack Obama's not a Christian.
No, he's Antichrist for sure.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah, and, you know, he has a Muslim background, and he's also very much Luciferian. So,
yeah, well, that's all the same, isn't it?
It is.
Pretty much. But same thing, different flavor maybe, but pretty much the same thing. Well, I just find it fascinating that here we have this, and, you know, you have no media. And then obviously you have the racial tensions in the media flying around too. What else happened in sports with the what's that name of that? I know you don't watch basketball, I don't think, but what's the name of that coach or the owner of that team that got in trouble? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Sterling.
Sterling. What did he do?
Owner of the Clippers. Well, he actually was cheating on his wife. He had a girlfriend, and I may get this wrong, but I mean I didn't study this, but I heard about it on a little talk radio. But evidently this man Sterling, who's probably in his late 60s, mid to late 60s, he's got him a sweet little young thing, and she's mixed. She's half black and half white. And he made a comment to her, when she comes to the games, evidently his wife must be an elderly woman. She's not interested in going to games, so he brings his mistress. And he told her not to be bringing a bunch of black guys sitting around him. And, he didn't want her bringing her ghetto friends and having them all at the game because she's seeing him. He's trying to keep his, everything on the down low. And evidently she was recording him when he made that comment about her black friends. And, he's about to, it's a communistic mindset in America today. If you say something we don't like, we will take everything you have. And that's what's happening to this man Sterling. I mean, it's one of the first test cases to see how far it's going to be pushed. Of course, same thing happened with Paula Deen.
Absolutely. Now, having said all that, let's look at this now. We took about 10, 15 minutes to explain that, right?
Right.
You know, what's really going on in this world today? Does it really? I mean, really, is it that big of a deal that some so, that some wicked, disgusting, nasty sodomites were kissing. And I mean, it's a terrible atrocity for America. Don't get me wrong. Is it really a big thing that some owner of a company or owner of a multi-million dollar team, probably close to a billionaire or whatever, that owns this team, that he made some racist comments or some foolishly hateful comments about somebody or whatever he did? I mean, who, honestly, I got to tell you, who really cares? Because there's
right.
a whole lot worse things going on right now in our world. Just look at what's going on in our world right now. We are in the middle of wars everywhere. Our economy is tanking. Food is at an all-time high price.
The and it's dollar at an all-time is low quality.
Yes. The dollar is sinking. You know,
gold and silver are being manipulated.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, look at it. The country is falling apart. I mean, morally, it's a cesspool.
And everything
of wickedness.
That's right, everything that's good is being dismantled little by little.
Sure is, brother. It sure is.
You look at the Boy Scouts, how they were dismantled.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was a kid, I went to Boy Scouts. I went to the Boy Scouts in the basement of the First Baptist Church, you know, and it was run by Sunday school teachers.
Yep.
And there was a lot of talk about Jesus in Boy Scouts. You know what I mean? It's a whole different matter now.
Well, of course it is. See, they've got to ruin everything. The devil's got to ruin everything he possibly can.
Right.
You know, he's got to ruin everything that he can.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be that way, you know.
Absolutely.
It's happening right before our eyes. So... what we're seeing is Brett Circus. Thank you.
That's exactly where we're at.
You know, Brett and circuses is what we're seeing right now.
Right.
Not to mention
how out of control the police are. And I'll be the first one to stand up and applaud for a good cop who'll do his job and have some honor. And defend the Constitution of the United States, who will look out for those who are in need and help those who are in distress. But just what I've seen lately just causes me just absolute grave concern.
The rise of the police state?
Yes, sir. There have been so many houses broken into, so many grandmas and little kids tased and pepper sprayed and people shot in their own bedrooms. And it's ridiculous.
It's pretty bad. It's terrible. But you know the police state, man. I'm telling you, I have never seen so much in one week on the police state in my life. I mean, this week
right.
I've literally seen 10 different accounts.
Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be there to serve and protect, but they're not serving and protecting very well anymore. It's more like we're all, you know, they seem like they're all scared of their own shadow, so what scares them, they shoot and kill.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the way that it is, and it's getting worse.
But it's a symptom of our society.
It is, really.
They're terrified of the same thing we're terrified of. Except we're not terrified of it like they are, because we're not putting ourselves on the front lines every day. I mean, it's not that every cop in the world has been given an evil, devious pill. It's just symptomatic of the times.
Well, we're dealing with unnatural affection, without natural affection, just the
right.
normal things of life. I mean, the normal way things have always worked. There's not a respect for any law any longer.
Right.
The police
and our laws were written for a moral people.
That's right. How about Pat Robertson? He says, love your lesbian family member by refusing to accept her. How about that?
Hmm. He must have one in his family.
You know, Pat Robertson is an interesting fellow. He just lambasted the Christians, born again Bible believers that believe in a literal 6-day creation the other day.
Right.
You know, he just totally, I mean, he totally tried to obliterate them. I mean, I believe that guy is a Jesuit priest, so he's a Jesuit.
Oh, I do too. No, he's definitely Masonic, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think he is.
Would not surprise me.
It's unbelievable. Really is. But, I mean, the things that comes out of that guy's mouth, I can't even, it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
At all, period. Anyway, so our world is a mess, and Jesus is the one that's going to straighten it out someday. Amen? Don't look for the politicians to do it. They're not going to do it. Don't look for a Republican president to come in and do it. He's not going to do it. You know, don't look for any of those other things. I mean, do right. Do what you have to do. Vote right. Vote according to the scriptures and, you know, according to things like that. I mean, be biblical in the way you deal with things. Oh, by the way, I seen something that was interesting here before we close with this, and we're going to get on to our topic tonight here. But before I get to that, I seen an article here about GMO and marijuana. Basically, it looks like the government would like is legalizing, allowing this, pushing the legalization of these in different areas, and the reason they're doing that is so they can genetically modify it.
That seems very much like what the government would do. And, you know, I thought on that. I saw you posted that, and I thought on that quite a bit. And, you know, right now, and I know that I've talked publicly about, you know, my past, and I know that you have we both have a familiarity with marijuana from our past. And so we both know, and so does everybody else in this world who has smoked it, that you cannot die from it. Okay?
Right.
What people are dying from is these high powered, revved up things that overwhelm their system, and they're already predisposed to crazed behavior already. And it just absolutely takes the restraints off. Now, what I believe the government wants to do, they want to create a potent enough marijuana that'll kill somebody. They want to create marijuana that will absolutely do some harm, and that way then they can absolutely restrict only what they allow.
That's right, brother. That's exactly what they want to do.
And they'll take away, you know, the states that have legalized it, their ability to cultivate, unless they're cultivating Monsanto seed.
Exactly. See, that's the key to it all.
Then they'll end up being heirloom variety marijuana that'll be on the black market.
That's the key to it all. You know, that's what the real goal is. And sadly, it's where we're at right now in this world.
I foresee someday when health food stores will say, hey, I know where you can get this real stuff at, you know. That day's coming.
The organic?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
You know, I was doing some thinking today, too, and it would make a very good, you know, speaking of that Michael Sam story, you know, can't you just, I can just see somehow him being used as a scapegoat to really bring about massive hate crime legislation. I mean, I can just almost see something taking place in order to further push, you know, the destruction of the Christian people in America. Just, I mean, don't quote me on that. I'm certainly not suggesting or proposing, but it would not surprise me. With as big a media darling as this man has become, if something did not happen to him and it be blamed on some lone wolf, ham radio operator, you know, lone Christian crazy.
You know what's really funny is those guys always end up being Democrats, though.
Yeah,
I don't know what
the
deal is. All the crazy ones end up being Democrats, so not that I'm a – listen, I'm not stuck between right and left. Or I mean, I get it, but it's just funny that they all end up being Democrats when they go do the things that they do. It's like I don't have a ham.
And they're all on antidepressants.
Do you have a ham radio – do you have a ham radio?
No, I don't. I actually know somebody that sells them. I don't have one.
Isn't there people that do, like, shows on those, like radio shows on those things or something?
Absolutely, and he's the man that owns it. He's actually asked me to start a program on the ham radio, but I haven't done that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, and shortwave goes, it follows the curve of the earth. I can't remember how it works, but anyway, you can talk worldwide with it.
I bet you Nate knows what that is.
Yeah, if the internet ever goes down, you know, and always switch to ham radio.
Hey, the old past broadcast on ham radio.
Yeah, I bet the Muslims don't like ham radio. Muftis probably don't like it.
Coming to you live from my cave.
Yep.
Wow, that's something, man. That is really interesting. I thought about that.
Challah.
What's that?
What do they eat? They call it challah. Is that what they call it? H-A-L-L-A-H?
I don't know.
The Muslims... They only eat lamb and goat and
halal.
It's halal.
Halal.
Yeah, they're on halal radio, not ham radio. That was what I was trying to think of.
Wow, halal. Gino says too. Is that like a greeting in the market? Halal.
Halal.
That's what it sounds like.
Where is Tino? Is Tino on the internet? Because I haven't heard Tino.
Tino has been messaging me. All night here, and him and Nate messaged the exact same thing at almost the exact same time, which leads me to believe, halal. Nate says halal. Meat is sacrificed to Allah.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of like the meat sacrificed to idols.
That would be.
Yeah. Okay.
That's exactly what that would be. Well, that's interesting. Huh. Well, listen,
yep.
We've had enough fun with the news and the general what's going on in this world today. I hope folks wake up to see that basically, you know, your lives are being filled up with Tino says halal is their version of kosher.
Okay.
Look, Nate and Tino, the encyclopedia, the Wikipedias.
Right.
Of the old past broadcasts right here.
Hey, man, you got to have them.
You got to have them, I know. I'm glad they send me stuff all the time. Russ, I'm surprised he hasn't texted me. He usually texts me some remark, but he hadn't texted me yet, so I'm waiting to hear from him. That'll come up sometime. You know, we're going to talk about tonight, brother. We're going to talk about the sodomites in the Bible. I preached a message on this last night, and discuss some of this stuff in church, and I'm going to preach another message on sodomites, the sodomite agenda in America. I believe it's important for us to understand these things. I think it's very important that we understand that there is an agenda going on. It's satanic, obviously.
Amen.
And it's not going away.
That's right.
It isn't going to go away. It's going to get worse. It's going to intensify as time goes on, and we're really seeing that right now. We're going to go back and we're going to look at what the Bible says about sodomites and about sodomites in the land. We're coming up on a break here in about 5 minutes or so, I think, and we'll just get a little bit started here, just talk a little bit about it. Well, look at that. Before we get into that, Lonnie has given me a message about ham radio. Ham radio is the overpowered version of CB, which is Citizens Band. Ham is amateur radio. Hey, I'm an amateur. I should have a ham radio then, shouldn't I? I'm an amateur.
You need one in your car. That way you can just do the show constantly.
I could just do the show and just travel around and do the show on a ham.
Hey, old school Facebook.
Does anybody know why it's called ham?
Now Lonnie had the answer for you just a second, though.
Lonnie is going to Wikipedia.
Yeah. By the way, Lonnie laid out of church last night.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? He wasn't at church last night. That's right, he wasn't.
Nope. Nobody was on church last night.
He was online churching, probably. No, he was. I don't know what he was doing. He was probably sleeping. He's been on the road all this time. In the air,
absolutely.
On the road, in the hotels, trying to adjust up north. Hey, the guy probably has to get some rest. It's not easy.
He's probably in culture shock right now.
He is in culture shock right now. He said when he stepped off the plane, he saw two sodomites kissing, and he didn't know what to do.
Oh, man.
I said, don't that happen in Texas?
Nope.
I thought, well, Brother Finney lives in Austin. How could that not happen
in
Austin?
Now, Austin's a different matter. Austin is a sphere of weirdness and vileness all in itself.
It's almost a sphere of weird, Austin.
Sphere of weird, yes, it is, and it is almost as if somebody took a big chunk of San Francisco and dropped Texas.
Is that really what Austin is like?
Well, their slogan is "Keep Austin Weird," brother. I mean, you don't have to let your mind wander on that one.
Yes, Nate, we know that Austin is the home of Alex Jones. We understand that.
Yep. He's from Weird Austin, too.
They used to call operators ham because they were go-to guys for telegraphing, etc., hence the term being a ham.
Okay.
I don't know what
that means. Well, I don't either. That must be some old-timey thinking or talking. That's beyond me.
I've never heard that before. Anyway, sodomites in the land. I'm going to give you some Bible verses to think about before we go to our break. And some things for you to think about here and just get in your mind here. In 1 Kings chapter 14, verse number 24, and there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Genesis 13:13. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly.
Mm-hmm.
Genesis 18:20. What's that? Go ahead, brother.
I just gonna say they love their sin. They don't want anybody else to go without knowing it.
That's right. We're gonna talk about that tonight too. Talk about the boldness and everything else there. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous, that God, he was going to go down there. He's going to check it out himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to take care of some business there while he was there. And he explained that in no uncertain terms. That's exactly what was going to go on. And if the cry was that great, as great as the cry was, and he was going to take care of it. And we're going to talk about that tonight, too, as well. We're going to talk about what it looks like, what the Bible says about them and what the Bible illustrates and shows us in many lessons concerning this. So we'll be ready to look at that here after the break. I think we're coming up on our break here.
Yeah, about 2 minutes out.
We got 1 minute till the break, and the song will be Rock of Ages by the Marksman Quartet.
Amen.
You know, Nate's favorite song is Stacking Them Stones. You know that?
No, I didn't know that, but I actually saw the Marksman Quartet last week. They came to Paris. I got to visit with them, and it was really a blessing.
Why does the guy that's singing that song remind me of you for some reason?
I don't know. Brother Mark, he and I don't look a whole lot alike. We're real good friends, though.
I mean, the voice, though. Like, I could hear you singing that song.
Well, we've written a song together, actually. He sang it the other night. We've written a song called He is the Way, the Truth, the Life.
Wow, amen. Nate says it's because he stacks stones for a living. That's why he likes that song so much.
There you go. He's
all
a bricklayer,
right, well, listen. We got to get to our break with Rock of Ages with the Marksman Quartet. We'll be right back in a few minutes on the Old Paths broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Rock of Ages, lift for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy
one thing I know for sure, and I've seen his glory time and time again. And you know, I was talking about that that the Lord is our rock, and talking about that song Rock of Ages. You know, I usually never see the Lord coming, but you can sure see him when he's passed by.
Amen.
I can look back and show you time after time after time where his hands moved in my life. I didn't see it coming, but I can sure see it once he's passed. Amen.
That's right, brother. That's absolutely right. And we are blessed to have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's a
Amen.
Wonderful thing.
And he's on air with us tonight.
Amen. That's right.
That's right. We gather together in his name. Amen. So he's here.
That's right. Amen. All right, well, listen, we've been talking about this. We just started talking about this sodomites in the land and sodomites in the Bible. And we're going to look at that tonight here, sodomites in the Bible, what the Bible really says about the sodomites. And, you know, this it's uncomfortable to talk about these things for pastors, Brother Brandon.
It is.
You know, there's a couple schools of thought out there. One of them is, well, don't talk about it in the church because you don't want everybody to hear about it, and you know those kind of things. Or you know, you don't want to, you just want to be encouraging. You know, you don't want to discourage anybody.
Right.
But I'm here to tell you that, like I tell everybody all the time, there's a war going on out there. Okay.
Yep.
It's spiritual. It's not physical. It's not fought with hands. It's not fault. Our weapons are not carnal, but they're spiritual.
Yes, sir.
And our battle is a spiritual battle. And we need to be prepared for that. We need to understand we're in a war. And
absolutely.
People need to understand this attack that's this sodomite agenda that Satan is using. Now, the sodomites are, they are div the state, and they are subject to bondage.
Hmm.
And they need to be saved just like anybody else.
That's right.
And there are some people that say, well, you can't be saved from that. I don't believe that.
No, I've met people that have been.
And yes, I have. I've talked to many that have been, and I praise the Lord for that. And listen, I don't hate anybody. I want you to understand that. I hate the devil. But I don't, when I bring these things out, I'm not doing this out of hate. I'm doing this to inform the people of God so that we can arm ourselves up and we can, you know, we can preach on this and rescue the perishing.
Right.
That's
let me just say, brother, I know two men right now who live less than 4 miles from me in a small little town where I live next to. And one I've known for the last 20 years. And his whole family, of course, and they're he comes from a charismatic background. But he's told me that, you know, he struggled with homosexuality. He goes back and forth. And, the boy just needs to get saved. He just needs to get really, truly born again saved.
Amen.
But he's told me, I believe the Lord called me to preach, and I'm fighting the call. And, if that's the case, then God help him. God help him if the man is just absolutely fighting against God, because his life is going to end miserably. If there is any truth to it, that he has gotten saved and he keeps wandering back and forth between sin and trying to be right with God, God help him.
Yes, now, I have a hard time believing that, but I think that there are a lot of people that are deceived into believing they're saved. But listen, I lived my life like that. I was 4 years, not like a sodomite, but I mean, I lived my life in fornication. You know, I did that, and to me, that's just as wicked in the sight of God's eyes. Fornication is wicked.
Absolutely.
And God hates that sin just like he hates any other sin. And God is angry with the wicked every day, and I was the wicked, and he was angry with me every day. And he was merciful to me, and he saved me out of that a wicked life of fornication. And I never reached the level of depravity of, you know, so to speak, in man's eyes, of homosexuality. But, you know, fornication is wicked.
Right. And I know another man, and he's a happily married man, got children. I mean, he came out of that lifestyle. And I know, you know, that's the thing about sin, brother. And I was talking about this with somebody the other day. You know, we're saved from the power of sin. Sin ought not have dominion over us, but the pull of sin is still there. And whatever sin you were predisposed to have a weakness for is always going to be there as some sort of a pull on you. Every time your flesh begins to get the upper hand, that sin is going to have a pull on you. Now, if that sin was homosexuality, then that sin's going to be your temptation. And, you know, as hard as that is to get a grasp on, that's going to be your temptation if that was your weakness before. And so those who have been saved out of it have a doubly hard time, I believe, because their sin is so vile and perceived
well,
so vile.
It damages their conscience so badly.
Right,
and it damages your so badly, and your flesh is so used to wickedness and evil that, you know, it's a daily cleansing and walking in the Spirit. But I mean, I can honestly tell you the things I used to do, I don't have the same desire to do them as I used to.
No.
Before I was saved. However,
no, you won't love that sin no more.
No, and but I'll tell you something, the heart. The eyes of a man are never satisfied.
That's right.
And we are flesh and lustful creatures, and we need to war against that. All right, let's get into this tonight here. The first account we see is Sodom and Gomorrah. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. That word exceedingly, it was so bad that God was going to go down there to look at Sodom to see how wicked they were himself, to pass before he passed judgment upon them. He was going to look. You know, he was going to look. And he did. You know, I thought about this the other day. What a sermon that would be to preach on when God went to Sodom. You know, I thought that'd be interesting. Because when...
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he comes back at his second coming, he's going to destroy this earth. He's going to destroy them, the wicked. And
amen.
The wicked are going to perish. And that's what's going to happen to our world. And our country is going to hell. And all the nations that forget God.
Right.
And we're seeing that right now. But listen, the one thing you realize from the text is that Sodomites are very bold.
Oh, yes.
They're very bold individuals. They're very bold in their sin and wickedness. When they were in Sodom there, they were very bold. But again, I said this before, and I'll say it again. Darkness brings boldness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Satan is at the point right now, all his minions, I mean, those who are serving him, And I know they're just sinners in need of salvation, but yet they are serving Satan. And those who are serving him now, there's no more shame, there's no more hiding, there's nothing but a coming out strong, because, you know, again, Satan knows that he's near his time.
Yep.
And his people are getting excited.
They sure
there's
are.
There's a buzz. Amongst them to be mobile and be vocal and be bold.
Yeah, there certainly is a rally, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing the rally cries right now. Sodom had become a very dark place. America is becoming a very dark place.
Mm-hmm.
Sodomites are bold in the dark. You look at what happened as now. In a dark and wicked land, what we're seeing right now. Did you ever think, brother, when you were, from the time that you were a child until now, that you would see two men kissing like that openly on television like that, or however, on video like that, and with cheers of joy and pride and everything else?
I can honestly remember a time, and I think I talked about it before on the program, I remember sitting in front of the television when I was about, I don't know, 10 years old, and watching the last episode of MASH, and Alan Alda, his character, using, you know, the words SOB, and when he said that, we were all shocked. My mother's like, turn that thing off, and I mean, we were all just taken aback because we'd never heard that kind of talk on television before, and I remember that impacted me so strongly, and I thought to myself, I wonder what they'll be saying on there. Whenever I'm grown, I wonder how bad it will really be then, and because it had changed just in my childhood, and you know like I said, I was watching the draft the other day. My wife and I, we were sitting there watching again, waiting for the Cowboys to pick. They had three picks, and right in the middle of that, here's Michael Sam picked, and he gets his phone call, and you know, his little boyfriend sitting there. His little white boyfriend is sitting there holding on to him and stroking his bicep, you know, like, my sweet baby. We're going to be millionaires now, and they're both weeping like girls. And you know, as soon as Michael Sam hung up the phone, he turned, and it was mouth on mouth, and my wife and I both shrieked. We were both in horror anyway, but we both shrieked and jumped back. I mean, it was like, oh, my goodness, what are we seeing? And they just played that sucker. I kept it on there because I wanted to be able to talk about it.
Yep.
It was hard to watch. I turned my head the second time, and the third time I cut the TV off, I said, you know what, that's enough. I'm not watching it again. And, you know, for the next 2 days, that's all, every ticker on the bottom of the screen, that was what they showed. Every news channel that had anything to do with sports, that's what they wanted to show. They wanted to glorify that.
Yeah. But they didn't want to show a man that was standing for any bit of truth.
Right.
Or what's right. They don't want to show that.
Tim Tebow got blackballed. He really did. I mean, nobody will touch him with a 10-foot pole. And I know he's got some issues, but I mean, the man could have been utilized, and everybody in the league knew it. And whenever he was playing, you know, he was an asset to his team. He had a winning spirit, you know, and he had a good attitude. He rallied his teammates together and made them believe. And you know, and that's a precious commodity in any. You know, you've played sports, you know that. When you got somebody on your team, dude, with a winning attitude, somebody who's won before. I mean, the man only won the 2 national championships there in Florida. He won the Heisman Trophy twice. I mean, the guy had a good history. You know, I mean, he's a winner. And everybody he played with, I mean, the majority of his teammates, they all just bragged on what a great teammate he was. And now he's, again, blackballed from the NFL. Why? It's because the NFL is partnered with sodomites. The NFL You only got to look at the NFL. Look at the halftime show every year. I mean, it's Illuminati all the way. It is Luciferianism on parade at the Super Bowl.
That's right.
I mean,
that's exactly what it is. I'm
sure there are some good Christian football players, people who really love the Lord with all their heart, but yet they sacrifice their Sunday, their day of worship, to go make money. And in that, they're wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe they have some team worship service, but still, they're not in the Lord's house. They're not serving God. At the very least, that's wrong. But to have embraced all the things that football has embraced, it's just vile.
Yes, it is. And see, now what we have is reprogramming being done, and this is a pattern that's going throughout. We're going to reprogram you now. You got to go back in for sensitivity training and reprogramming. You just can't have an opinion. You can't be different. You can't believe something's right or something's wrong. You have to live in this state of satanic, putrid relativism.
Right. And let's not forget last year, too. You know who Bob Costas is, reporter.
Yep.
Bob Costas. Last year on Monday Night Football, he has the – it's either Monday night or Sunday night. I can't remember now which. But he has the little opinion piece in the middle of it. And last year, it was during one of the shootings that happened, one of these false flag governmental shootings or bombings or whatever, where gun control was being rallied for, and you have Bob Costas calling for gun control in the middle of an NFL game. So the NFL is pushing Obama, and they're pushing his agenda. Let's go back a little further, and let's remember what happened to Hank Williams Sr., not happened to Hank Williams Sr., Hank Williams Jr., Obo Cephas, when he spoke out against Obama. He got from the Monday Night Football theme song, and what they did is they replaced him with Obama in the opening presentation, saying, "Yes, we can." And they've been pushing. I mean, it was kind of like I don't know if you've seen if you witnessed the opening montage of Monday Night Football. Now it's changed so much over the years. It's gone from "Are you ready for some football?" to now it's a historical montage of all the historical events that have taken place during the time that Monday Night Football has been there. They've got,
well,
you know,
I'll tell you, brother, it's now
down
it's
that wall. And,
now it's turned into Sodomy 101 is what it's turned into now. And there's a boldness there with these sodomites. We see that same boldness in the scriptures. So we see a pattern there in Genesis chapter 19. The Bible says, "And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto them, and entered into their house, and he made them a feast." So these angels go in there. They're not a bit afraid to go in there, but look what happens. Before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young.
Yeah, they were peeking in the windows, wasn't they?
Yeah, they were. All the people from every quarter. It didn't take them very long to seek out the innocent life or the pure life, did it? They were
looking for it.
Yeah, they preyed on it. That's exactly what they did. And that's exactly what the sodomite agenda does.
Yep.
The man in that video that I posted a video, and Brother Lonnie can find it if he can get to our YouTube page. You know, something happened with our YouTube page, and I go on the YouTube page for me, and I go on, it says this channel is not available.
Hmm.
And I don't know what's going on with my YouTube page, but when I try to access it, it says this channel is not available. Ever since I had that video up there of that sodomite, that's what's taking place, and I can't get to my... But anyway, in this video, when I'm out street preaching with some men, Brother Paul and his sons and my son, this man, this sodomite comes up to us, and he starts screaming, saying he's going to preach the gay gospel.
Hmm.
And he says, I'm going to preach the gay gospel. And he said that he was recruiting basically. He said I'm recruiting homosexuals. He said.
Recruiting them. He's recruiting them. How are they born that way?
Exactly. Good point, huh?
Yeah.
Good point.
You don't have to preach it if they're born that way.
That's right, brother. That's right. I made a statement on Facebook like that. I said, listen, hey, you say you were born that way, but let me tell you the truth. I was born again to stand against your wickedness.
Oh, I know.
I was born again to stand up against your vile, disgusting, wicked sin. I was born again to stand up against all wickedness and sin.
Mm-hmm.
I was born born again to live for Christ and speak boldly His name. That's what I was born again to do. So you'll just have to tolerate that because I was born that way.
Amen. That's right. That's right. You can't help it.
And I can't help it. I can't change that. I was born that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but anyway, in this video, brother, what we see, and by the way, that video is posted now on Faith Baptist Church's Facebook page. But in this video, we see this sodomite man. He is very upset, and he's upset, and he's screaming, he's yelling, and I'm trying to calm him down, and he doesn't want to calm down. I was trying to ask him questions and try to get. He wanted to go after the preacher and keep going after the preacher. And he wanted to try to stop the preacher from preaching. And that's always their goal, by the way, in street preaching, is they want to stop the preacher from preaching. That's what they want to do.
Right. That book scares them, brother.
It sure does. So we preached, and, he kept trying to get around me to my son. And I told him, I said, you just stay away from my son. You know, because he was standing right there, and he kept trying to go around me to get to him. And I just looked at him, and I told him to, you know, that wasn't going to happen, basically. And Brother Paul said, I was trying to get him to talk to me and deal straight with me, but he didn't want to deal with me. And Brother Paul grabs my shoulders. He goes, well, look at your shoulders. That's why he didn't want to. He said, I didn't want to be around you.
Amen.
He didn't want to have nothing to do with you. But,
right.
You know, again, I wasn't out there to hurt that man. I was out there to preach the truth to him. I want to see him get saved. I don't have any desire to hurt that man. None
right.
whatsoever.
That's right.
I want to get saved.
Everybody that hates on you for doing what you're doing and hates on me for saying what I say, and they hate on us. We're not trying to hurt anybody. We're not out to try to cause any pain.
No.
Any physical pain to anybody. But you know what? When the Spirit of God moves, it causes spiritual pain to a lost man, regardless of what his sin is. It's kinda like when you've been asleep in a dark room and somebody turns the big light on, the first thing you want to do is you want to wince and cover your eyes. You know, that's what happens when you start preaching to a lost man who's been in darkness all his life. That blinds him, and he says, He says, I can't tolerate that.
That's right.
And he's got to either yield to the light or he's gonna fight it.
Absolutely. So we see that these men are, from what we've seen out there on the street in that video you can watch, we see these men are very bold. We see from Sodom and Gomorrah, they're very bold men. They come out and they come with it, and they don't care what you think about it, but they are coming. And they're hunting for the innocent life. That's what they want. They want to recruit them. That's exactly what they want to do. They wanted these men at any cost. You know, let me say something to you. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's something very vampirish about that, you know,
yes.
I mean, preying upon, I mean, well, it goes back to Molech, it goes back to, you know, all the Old Testament, the pagan worship. I mean, there's that bloodlust, there's that desire to take away, they want to sacrifice an innocent virgin. There's that desire to molest and desecrate, because they... You know, misery loves company, brother, and that's what they are, is miserable.
Absolutely, and you know what? They need to be saved. That's the problem. They need to be saved. Their life is torturous, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
Lot's time in Sodom warped his thinking, too, as well. We're going to get into that. But anytime you're around sodomy and anything like that, or pornography or fornication, and you constantly put that in your mind on a continual basis... You can't, it's going to affect you. Mine eye affecteth mine heart.
That's right.
And your judgment will be tainted because of it. The Bible is very clear, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
God said you're not supposed to, you know, sell your daughters into that, sell your sons into that.
Right.
God doesn't like that. God hates that.
Absolutely. That's why these parents put their little girls into cheerleading,
mm-hmm.
have them down there showing their panties off, kicking their legs up, showing their panties off, grown men in the stands.
Yep.
You know, they're just giving them to the slaughter.
Amen.
These people that send their young children off to college, these secular colleges, you're just sending them off to be slaughtered.
Yes, they are. That's exactly what's happening. And I've seen it. I've seen them slaughtered. I've seen what's happened to them when they do. And it's sad. It's heart-wrenching when you see it happen. Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 5 was a man named Lot. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them.
Yeah, and for anybody...
What's that?
I said anybody who doesn't understand King James, I mean, that means in the biblical sense they wanted to do immoral, filthy, vile things to those men.
Right, they wanted to rape them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they wanted to do. They wanted to sodomize them and rape them. That was their goal. That's what their goal was. And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after them. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye as to them as good in your eyes, only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now this is, God, Lot's mind has been warped.
Oh, yeah.
You know what Lot's doing here? Lot is choosing between the lesser of two evils.
Yep.
That's what Lot is doing here. Brother Tino has talked a lot about that in politics, choosing the lesser of two evils. That's not a choice at all. Evil is evil. It's not a choice.
That's right. Lesser of two is still evil.
Right. That's right. So what we see here, and what we see with Lot is choosing the lesser of two evils. He's saying, I think I will give my daughters over to these wicked men, that these wicked men can steal their purity from them.
You know what amazes me? I'm amazed that his daughters were even pure at that point.
Exactly. I know. Well, we know that they were betrothed. We know that they were betrothed to these sons-in-law, but they had not consummated the marriage yet. But they were they were betrothed to them. There was a betrothal period, kind of like an engagement period.
Yeah.
And that's what was going on at this point. They were promised to these men. So Lot was doing something he didn't even have the authority to really do. He had already promised them to somebody else.
You know, I thought about that a lot, and I think why Lot did that, I think is he knew if not, he was next.
Well, we see that at the door, that what they say to him, we will do worse with thee. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to have to kill me. And whatever you do with my dead body, but you ain't getting my kids. I'm going to tell you that right now. You ain't getting my kids,
Amen.
Jack. That ain't happening. That ain't happening at all. I said it last night when I was preaching, so I'll say it again. You're going to have to take me. You have to go over my dead body. You better make
sure you
get to
it, and there ain't
no
life in there. I'm going to put up some kind of a fight, too, before you get it.
That's right. Because there ain't no way I'm handing over my kids to the slaughter.
No, you won't be fit to do nothing to my kids once I'm done with you. I can guarantee you that.
Right. See, the thing is, brother, is Lot was so demented. What happened to him? Well, 2 Peter chapter 2 tells us what happened to Lot. And it delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. It says that he was vexed with the filthy conversation. What's that conversation mean? It means manner of life.
Yep.
That word just doesn't mean speech. It means to live everything.
Well, just look at the word vexed.
Yeah.
I mean, his mind was scrambled. His thinking was scrambled.
Disquieted, afflicted, provoked.
You know what? He was just like these Christians today, or these so-called Christians today, who think it's okay to live and fornicate, live in sin, fornicate, or do whatever they want to do, and it be okay. They got to be fine with it. Their thinking is upside down, just like Lot's was.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were. You know, and listen here, it says here, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. Look at that. There's two things there. Seeing and hearing. Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So his seeing of it, his hearing of it, it affected his judgment. It affected Lot's judgment.
Right. Evidently there was a lot of talking about accepting that lifestyle. You know, again, as they're promoting it.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're bold enough to knock down somebody's door to get to a couple men that are visiting, you've already heard this. Lot didn't act like he was shocked or surprised that this was going on.
No.
The Bible doesn't indicate that Lot was, like, completely shocked. There's no indication of that.
No.
The indication of it is that he was like a mockery to his sons-in-law, which tells me that Lot was around all this wickedness. He had never stood up to it. No, he wasn't a part of it. But, see, he broke one of the commands. Here's the commands, okay? The command is, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather
reprove
them. There's two parts to that. There's have no fellowship, and there's reprove them. If you do one and not the other, you fail. You will fail your children if you only abstain from them, but don't war against them.
Right. Most people don't want to have an opinion. You know, if we bring it right down to where we live right now, most people, they may agree with me and you in their heart, but they will not let their stand come out of their mouth.
No, they won't war against evil. That's the problem.
Well,
you want to know what's wrong with America?
Because when you do, it's everything you have is going to be taken away from you.
That's right. But you know,
so we're living in not Germany is what we're living in.
Exactly. Oh, we are. For sure we are. I mean, there's so many ways that America is like that in the place that we're in. You know, in the time that we're in right now, it's unbelievable.
Right.
Well, Lot had no judgment. He had the poorest judgment right there. Lot was ready to hand over his daughters.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, Lonnie. The fear of man bringeth a snare.
Yes, sir.
That's right. That's what they're afraid of. They're afraid of man instead of God.
Can I ask you something, brother? Have you ever had a sodomite come on to you?
Let me see. Let me think about that.
Because I can tell you I have, and it is the most repulsive feeling that you'll ever have.
I don't think so.
It was a great number of years ago. It's probably been 20, 25 years ago. But I had one follow me around, and finally I stopped and I asked him, I said, what did he need? And he stuttered around and asked me what I was doing and started asking a bunch of questions, and it didn't take very long for me to figure out what he was doing. He was hitting on me.
Well, and I remember when I was younger. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, and it was the most repulsive feeling ever to be hit on by a sodomite.
I remember my brother had that happen once when we were younger. We were in public somewhere, and there was a guy that he came out of a bar, and he was drunk, and my dad was turned the other direction. And there was a guy that was going after my brother, and then my dad, you know, or somebody we were with seen the man and said, "Hey, get out of here." And and that guy left. My dad told me a story when he was a kid, though. He worked at a hotel, and he said that the hotel was full of sodomites that worked there. And there was one man that my dad was 16. When you're 16 years old, you're kind of, you know, you're dumb and naive to things. You know, you're just a kid.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You don't know if something's going on. You know, you don't get that. You don't know that. If you've never been around that, you know, you don't know that. Well, this guy was trying to get my dad to go into the basement of this hotel with him. He said he needed help, and he wanted my dad to go into the basement to the hotel with him. There was this big, huge black guy he walked over to that man, and he said, if you don't get out of here right now, I'm going to take this knife, and I'm going to cut you from ear to ear. He told that man that. And that sodomite took off, and my dad said, what's wrong? And he goes, that man was trying to lure you down to that basement because he was going to try to hurt you. And he didn't know. My dad didn't know. He'd never heard of anything like that. You know,
right.
that wasn't a common practice back then at all for anything like that to happen.
Oh, no. Well, you didn't even hear about sodomites. You heard about men who were confirmed bachelors or whatever, but they,
right.
I mean, when I was growing up, you didn't hear about that.
No, it's a different
world we're living in today. Yeah, people said, oh, so-and-so was a little funny. That was what, I mean, it wasn't funny about it, but that was what people would say. You know, and of course, that may have just been the area where I live, the country.
No, that's how it was said here. That's how it was kind of talked about here, too, as well. Even when I was a kid, it wasn't acceptable at all. When I was a kid,
mm-hmm.
25 years ago, 30 years ago, it wasn't acceptable.
Right.
When I was growing up, till I got in my teens, then people started talking about it, but it still wasn't acceptable. At that point,
right.
It didn't become that until the 90s. But I'll save that for another show because I want to talk about the sodomite agenda in that show, and I'll show you how that came about, and we'll deal with that. But anyway, the Bible says that evil communication corrupts with good manners, and Lot judgment was complete. His parental love and his affection was gone. I mean, he had no understanding of it at all. But later you'll find that that cost Lot his own daughter's purity because he was willing to give his daughters over, and they knew that their purity didn't matter that much in the first place. It warped their mind. Listen, his wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Why? Her mind was so warped, she looked back at Sodom, and it affected her. It affected her life. What went on there affected that woman.
Yeah.
It burned in her. I think of the words of Jesus. Remember Lot's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Yep. She looked back longingly. And in another way, I feel for the woman because her children were dying too.
Yeah. It was sad. Sad
God,
thing.
God has a harder problem with sin than we do.
Yes, he does. God hates sin.
You know, absolutely. See, I was reading, you know, about Saul when he was supposed to kill all those Amalekites, and you know, he's supposed to kill every single living thing. You know, and he brought back the king, and he brought back the best of everything. And, you know, and Samuel said, you know, what's this bleating of sheep in my ears? You know, God told you. You know, somebody might look at that story and say, well, God, you know, God was awful harsh to just kill everybody. I mean, just absolute genocide of all those people. But listen, God has a harder problem with sin than we do. God looks at it for what it really is. And we just can't get our mind around how harsh God looks at sin. But all you got to do is look at Calvary and see what he did to Jesus to save us from sin if you want to see how big a problem God has with sin.
Amen. Absolutely, God hates it. God hated so much he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for it, and he pulled out Lot, the righteous one, the only one that was righteous there, that his family, his daughters that were righteous, and pulled them out of there. In Genesis 19:9, it says here, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. You know, they didn't care. They'd have raped Lot if they had to. They didn't care what they wanted to fulfill their lustful, wicked desires.
Right.
And it didn't matter to them what it was that filled it. It did not matter to them. They didn't care.
Right.
There's no honor among. Did you know that 40% of child molestation is done by sodomites?
Doesn't surprise me.
And they only make up about 2 to 3% of the population.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when the Bible talks about all uncleanness, I mean, that's covering all the philias, am I right?
Yes.
All of the pedophilia, bestiality, incest, all, yeah. And once God gives you over to a reprobate mind, any of it's fair game. And that's why people don't understand what a horribly slippery slope, you know, this is in America, because once, and homosexuality, sodomy is mainstream. It's mainstream amongst young people. It's mainstream amongst the Hollywood crowd. It's mainstream in the music industry. It's mainstream in sports now. It's taking
everywhere.
Over sports. And again, you know, the NFL, and I hate to keep carping on the NFL, but the NFL, the reason why they've been partnered with to bring all this about is because they know that men are the hardest group. You know, your average white, and I'm not ashamed to say white male, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I think there's really probably more resistance to sodomy in the white community than there is in the black. And the reason I say that is because you got all these guys running around with their pants pulled halfway down and their underwear sticking out, and that goes right straight back to prison, where it means, hey, I'm available. And, I mean, it's an open for business sign in prison to have your pants pulled down, your underwear showing.
Ugh.
And, but Lonnie confirmed that with you, I guarantee you. And so the white football fan, you know, Joe football fan, he's got to be convinced, and the pressure's got to be put on him, and he's got to see what happens to all these football players who stand up against it. And so they're going to try to bully the NFL fan into going along with it. They've already got their wives who sit and watch HGTV and Food Network and all the other networks that are promoting homosexuality. You know, they've got to win over the man now. They got to pressure him. They got to show him what happens if you stand up against it. And I really believe that's what's happening. They're trying to attack middle-aged white guy now and get him coerced into going along with it.
Well, they can have it. As far as I'm concerned, I don't want anything to do with any of it. You know. Because I'm tired of all the wickedness. I'm tired of what it's turned into and everything. And
I realize what I just said may sound like a racist statement, but I'll be honest with you. You don't see white men running around so much. Maybe you do in big cities, but you don't see so much.
Yeah,
them
you
running
do
around
here in the north.
Underwear hanging out.
Well, no, not like that. No, not. I mean, kids and people that you know, running around like that. Tino says a friend who went to the Wisconsin Republican convention last week says it's become mainstream in the Republican Party. Yeah, I heard about it. Is it the Log Cabin Abraham something?
Yeah.
Something
group? Log Cabin Republicans.
When I was at the delegation last year, as a delegate for Ron Paul there last year, I remember seeing that that was a group off to the side. And, yeah, they had their group there. And, you know, I think to myself, you've got to be kidding me. What's happened to this country? But they're all in the same team, so that's what they do. That's the agenda. By the way, the agenda here, not to get too far off the subject here, the agenda here with this 40% of child molestation is done by 2 to 3% of sodomites, why do you think they want to adopt and have marriage and have legal marriage and everything else like that? The purpose is children. It's the purpose is to recruit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And
if a child is brought up, if a child is brought up with two daddies, then more than likely he's going to be inclined to be a sodomite himself.
Right. Well, not to mention the recruiting process that goes on with the molestation between them too.
Right.
Because that's part of what they do. But that's
sure.
The agenda. Children expose these things early. It impacts their whole lives. That's why they want to do that. That's why we see it. We see that in the story. These sodomites in the Bible, they didn't care the young, old. It didn't matter what it was. The influence on Lot's daughters was absolutely damning to them. Absolutely damning to them. When we see the end of Genesis chapter 19, come let us make our father drink wine and we will lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. Well, hey, it's a lesser of two evils, right? I mean, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Lot already showed him that early on.
Right. By the way, don't let anybody forget, you know, Lot took that jug of wine into that cave with him. There wasn't no liquor store in there.
That's right.
He was looking for a party.
He knew exactly what he was doing. I know it says here that they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in, and he was probably trying to drown himself in sorrows. I'm sure that's why he probably had it. You know, his wife was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he had lived in the cesspool of his own wickedness and of what he allowed around him, a failed life. And you know what? It can happen to anybody that decides they're going to walk in the flesh, and they're going to make poor decisions.
Right.
It'll influence their family. It'll impact their children. It always impacts the children. Always impacts
right.
the children.
That's a legacy.
Yes,
that right there is a legacy. I mean, he left Sodom, but Sodom was still in him. And Sodom was still in them.
It never left the daughters. I mean, they took it right there, and they committed incest and fornication with their own father.
Mm-hmm.
And had children of their own father, and what a disgrace that is. That's where they left it at. We see another story of sodomy in the Bible in Judges. We see these certain sons of Belial that went after this old man and that went to get his concubine that had played the harlot,
and
he went to go, and boy, he camped out there at somebody's house, and in come the sodomites banging on the door. Do I believe that's what's going to happen in the future? Absolutely. I think they're going to be banging on doors.
Yep. They're going to have to take my gun away from me before then, and I'll be gone by then.
Yep. but that's what you're looking at. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door. Well, he gave over. But notice, they didn't care. Those sodomites didn't care. This is where people had their head messed up. I've heard a lot of people say things like this, and they really need to be careful about this foolishness. I've heard it said before. Well, you know, they like boys, not girls, so they won't do nothing with, you know. I've heard these women and other people, husbands, letting their wives hang out with sodomites. Not Christians, of course, but lost people. I don't know about Christians. Maybe there's some that claim to be Christians that do that. I don't know. But they let their wives say, oh, well, they're harmless. Really?
Yeah.
They don't care. Right, and they don't care.
And their influence trickled right down to their children.
That's right. That's right, and they didn't care. They don't care if it's a man or a woman. They don't care. That's why you say people talk about bisexuality or whatever. It's all fornication, and they're willing to go either way. That doesn't make any difference.
Right.
You know, it's all wickedness and immorality when you get to that point. And, you know, when you get to that point, it's devilish. In fornication or any of those things that we see there, we see a boldness and we see a militancy. We see a militancy among sodomites.
Mm-hmm.
The desire to bang that door down.
Yep, we're here, we're queer, get used to it.
Right, that's the slogan pretty much.
That's what they say when they walk the streets in their parades.
But God's law hasn't changed any.
No.
It says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. It is abomination.
Right.
Romans chapter 1 says, and likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And even if they did not like
the word unseemly.
Mm-hmm.
That word unseemly. Define that word.
All right. Unseemly.
I got one for you. Disgusting. It shouldn't be. I may be wrong on that, but I think that's the definition of the word unseemly. Something that should not be.
Unseemly. Let's see. Yeah.
I'm just curious about it.
Not proper or appropriate, Brother Lonnie says.
That's right. It ain't right.
It just ain't right.
That's right. It just ain't right.
It's wicked and vile. Yet not fit or becoming, uncomely, unbecoming, indecent.
Mm-hmm.
Indecent.
And when God says, and they're receiving in themselves the recompense, which was meat. Well, let's put that in today's terms. They're going to get what they deserve.
Yeah.
The payback. Yeah, recompense and payback. Receiving in themselves the payback that was right. I've watched interviews where people have talked to homosexuals who are really in the lifestyle, and every one of them will say that they're miserable. They're all miserable. That misery, that never being a, that's why they do such vile things. That's why they go to such depths of depravity. Things that go on amongst gay men especially. I mean, we can't talk about on here. The sickest things that they do. We can't talk about it on the air. It's not right. Listen, what goes on between a husband and a wife in their bedroom, we shouldn't talk about that on here either, because it's unseemly to talk about those things. But what they do, they want to broadcast. They want to glorify. Listen, you know, every Christian
Listen to this. 28% of homosexual men had more than 1,000 partners. Bell and Weinberg report evidence of widespread sexual compulsion among homosexual men. 83% surveyed estimated they fornicated with 50 or more partners. Estimated they were with 500 or more partners, 43% did, 28% with more than 1,000 partners.
Mm-hmm. It's an insatiable appetite for corruption, and they can't ever satisfy it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called being consumed with iniquity. That's what it's called.
Right.
And it leads to hell. It leads to death. That's what the Bible says. It leads to death.
That's absolutely right.
They knoweth not that the dead are there, and their guests are in the depths of hell.
And, you know, it's not that we're on here trying to put folks down and you know, and make them feel like less than human beings. Listen, this is what God says. This is God's stand. And what God says is going to happen is going to happen. And we're just trying to warn people. We're just trying to say, look, you know, this is an abomination to God, and God is going to judge it. And if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're on the fence, not sure whether you're for sodomites getting married, if you're not sure if you're okay with it, I'm gonna tell you something. God's not okay with it. And what God's not okay with, who in the world are we to change His word? Who in the world do we think we are? We're gonna join them with God's wrath being poured out on us if we don't stand within the confines of His word.
Yeah, judgment is on its way. The Bible says, and likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's the way of the sodomite. That's the way that it goes.
Things that are not convenient. It does. You know, I think about that. I don't want to just drag the show down, and I know we're about to run out of time. But it's not convenient. That's all I do. I know I'm the boat anchor on the show, but man, and look at all the problems it causes. Look at all the heartbreak that comes from it. There's no joy in it. There's no joy of childbirth. There's no joy of a happy marriage. There's no joy of parents finding out that there's to be a wedding. I mean, those joys are that's not real. It's inconvenient. It doesn't lead to happiness. It leads to destruction.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't think of anything more.
Only if you get to the end. Only if you get to the end of that chapter, brother. I don't want to hold you up anymore. Go ahead.
And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know, when we look at it, I mean, boy, you ain't a kidding it, they aren't convenient. They're downright horrible.
Absolutely.
They're downright destructive. You know, we're about out of time here, but the Bible, it says what they did and how God gave them over. But it says who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. We better be careful about having pleasure in watching these things on television and laughing
right.
And comedy and all those things. If you're getting entertainment and pleasure out of watching sodomites and watching them and all those things, you better be awful careful what the Bible says about that. God's not pleased with that.
Right, but I think about Obama. I think about him calling up to congratulate Michael Sam for being openly gay. I think about all the news people who have applauded this. Every time I read that verse, brother, what I think about is the Jerry Springer Show and people just sitting around cheering for abominations.
Sad,
they take
brother.
Pleasure. They take pleasure in it.
Mm.
And they want to turn more and more people into it.
Brother, you take us out. We're out of time.
All right. Well, it's been good to be with you, brother. And send Lonnie back home safe. And listen, folks, just stay in God's word. Let Him be true and every man a liar. I'm Brother Brandon T from Brother Jason Cooley. And we will see you next week. Have a great week, and God bless.